So I'm very pleased to welcome Rachel Crossley, who will be giving the talk this morning. She's going to pray for Rachel now. Lord God, we thank you for Rachel and for the time she's given to listening for your word today. We pray that your word might be spoken through her to our hearts and minds. Help us to rejoice in your love, to grow in love and service for others, and in all things to seek to live as your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a real pleasure to be with you this morning, mainly because I have two very small children and bringing them here would not work. The concept of sitting still for them is still a bit foreign. So it's a treat for me to get out. Happy All Saints Day. I can tell by the slightly bemused faces looking back at me that perhaps that's something that we're a little less familiar with. Talk of saints and things often seems a little bit Catholic, and I suspect not many of us at St. Tim's are particularly well-versed necessarily in some of those traditions. But All Saints is the middle of 3 days that form Hallowmass or Hallowtide. It began yesterday with All Hallows' Eve, now what we call Halloween. And tomorrow we then have All Souls Day. And today I thought it was a really good opportunity for us to get to know some of the history of this period of time a bit better, but also get us thinking about how perhaps we might do something more with this time, how we might reclaim it, and how perhaps we can build this time of year a bit better into our lives and what value there might be in that. I'm a really big advocate of kind of following the liturgical year. Advent is Advent. I don't like doing Christmassy things too soon, because actually there is power in following that year. It takes us through the highs and lows of our everyday lives. And I think that this time has also got something really important to offer. So a very brief history of All Saints Day. Originally, it would have been celebrated in May. Pope Boniface, and I apologise if I pronounced that wrong, consecrated the Pantheon in Rome to the Blessed Mary and all the martyrs in 609. So the Pantheon in Rome was somewhere where previously it had been all the other sort of gods had been in there, and now it was something dedicated to Christian history, to Christian saints. And there's evidence that this was celebrated on the 13th of May for a long time. Then, later on, Pope Gregory III changed the date to November the 1st, and this was in the 8th century. We're not entirely sure necessarily why, but there is a reasonable argument that the change in date was also partly to coincide with pagan Celtic festival of Samhain. And that happened on the 31st of October. Samhain was originally a sort of harvest festival. It was a time where people marked the end of the light half of the year, and it recognised the fact that we were moving into the dark part of the year. We were moving into winter. Livestock were sort of taken down from the hills and brought down into winter pastures. And this change in season has been something that throughout cultures throughout the world, it's also been thought to have been a time, it's called a threshold festival. It's a time of year where it was believed that the sort of boundaries between this world and the spiritual world were a bit thinner. And this has led to all sorts of traditions and beliefs around the souls of the dead being able to kind of come back and visit. Now, whether the church deliberately moved this All Saints Day because of Samhain, we don't know. But we do know that the church, you know, they have moved festivals around to coincide with other pagan festivals. It's a good way of converting people. It's been very effective with certain aspects of our Christmas traditions. What we do know is that there's been a bit of a kind of rub-off between the two festivals, and certain customs have developed as Samhain and All Saints Day kind of developed together. Bonfires, feasts, people leaving out food for the spirits of their dead. Things about honouring the dead, going to visit graves, tidying them up, leaving flowers, particularly chrysanthemums, as they were one of the few flowers still growing in November, still blooming. People would wear costumes to disguise themselves from the spirits that might be roaming around. They'd light lanterns. And people would go from house to house to offer prayers for the deceased in exchange for soul cakes or bread. And so we can see how some of our sort of traditions and other things have eventually, after lots of commercialisation and various other things, become Halloween as we know it. And we're kind of left in this weird position where we have All Saints Day and lots of us kind of don't necessarily do much with that. And we feel a bit uncomfortable about Halloween and we're not sure what to do with it. But the key things I want you to kind of remember about this history is this time of year is important because we recognise that it's the growing winter, there's growing darkness, and we start to see aspects of death in nature. Secondly, it led to the idea that it was a good time to remember the dead. And thirdly, the church has used this time for a long, long time now to remember the saints and martyrs that have gone before us. So what can we do with this today? I certainly, when I was younger, never particularly paid much attention to the idea of saints and things like that. But actually, as I've got a bit older, I've come to recognise that some of those stories have value. They have importance. Whether it's people, sort of famous saints like Timothy, Hilda or Francis, or whether it's simply the stories of other Christians that have gone before us, perhaps our families, or just other people that were really influential in our own lives, they give us an example to follow. They give us encouragement when we feel discouraged, and occasionally they might give us a bit of a kick up the bum when we need it. Our reading from Revelation gives us this vision of the church worshipping God. And we should take comfort from that vision. It talks about those people going through tribulations, and it talks about God wiping away every tear from their eye. We know that the saints that have gone before us, we know that the stories of other Christians that have gone before us, we know where that ends. So if nothing else, All Saints Day should really encourage us to look at the stories and examples of other people. But it's also a really good time for remembrance and grief. This time of year, the trees are growing better. It's getting colder. It's darker. It's a fitting time to acknowledge the people and things that we've lost. I personally have found it really useful over the last few years to build my own traditions around this time of year. And I light candles for family members that have died. We have a moment of reflection. I often like to cook some of their favourite meals and we reminisce. We have a moment to cry. Being able to grieve is healthy. Perhaps there are other things that we need to grieve as well as a church or a society. It might be useful to use this time of year to grieve environmental damage that we've done. Perhaps we need to grieve the ongoing changes to our lives at this time, dealing with COVID. It's a good time to face up to things that we find scary and to acknowledge that sometimes things can seem really dark. But we do that with the vision in Revelation in mind. We do it with the hope that we know we have in mind. We've got a sneak peek at the outcome. We face the darkness because we have this hope. It's a hope that soon we'll be preparing for in Advent, and then we get to celebrate with all the lights, hopefully, in some way or another this year, at Christmas. That's why the chrysanthemum was used in the past at this time as well, because it bloomed. When lots of other flowers and the ground's getting cold or just very, very muddy if you go down Rivlin at the moment, not much is blooming, but the chrysanthemum still is. It's that symbol of hope that we know we have. And so my proposal to you is this time of year is difficult. And sitting in this festival and really thinking about the darkness and our grief can be uncomfortable. But perhaps we need to do it as a church. If we can't do it as a church with the hope that we know we have, then who can? If as a church we shy away from the darker places, how are we going to bring light to everyone else? What does Christmas really have if we can't face up to these times? So I encourage you to think about this time of year. Walking through the trees and things is a really good way of thinking about it as you see the trees fall and become more bare. And consider what ways you might build in some kind of All Saints, All Hallows practice into your own lives. What things could you do on your own with your families to acknowledge people that have gone before us, acknowledge the pain, and look forward to the hope that we have as well? Let's pray. Father God, there are times that are confusing, times that are difficult. But we thank you that through it all, we know the outcome. Thank you that we have Christmas to look forward to. Help us now to go through the rest of this week and the coming months, holding on to that promise. Amen.
Thank you, Rachel. I invite you, if you will, if you're able to stand as we declare our faith in God, our hope, our trust. You believe and trust in God the Father, the source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, who died for us and rose again? Our prayers of intercessions were led for us today by Alan Rosemary Anderson.
Heavenly Father, when days are dark and full of pain, give us the strength to live through what we don't understand, the courage to face it, and your comfort and peace in our hearts, for we are held in your loving arms. As we've been reminded today, we think about saints who we've heard about through history, or people we've met in our lives who have influenced us, helping us in our Christian faith, and enabling us to get glimpses of God through their example. So let us pray this prayer. Lord, grant that we, in following the example of your saints, may live holy and godly lives, and inspired by their witness, may steadfastly dedicate ourselves to serve you and live to your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.
Can we also pray for all those in our world who are in distress from hunger, war, political repression, or disease? We pray especially for those who feel they must leave their own country and look for refuge elsewhere, and ask that they may be always treated fairly and honestly. We remember before you politicians who have to make difficult decisions, and pray that they all may always work for good and put any self-seeking aside. We pray for peace and reconciliation, and especially remember those who are actively engaged in bringing an end to conflict. We bring before you those in our own community with no home and not enough to eat, those trapped in difficult relationships, those who are anxious for the future, and those who are ill, and especially be with those who are dying. Amen.
We take a moment to bring our own prayers to God. Notices for this week have been rather changed by the announcement yesterday made by the Prime Minister. Assuming that Parliament votes for what was announced yesterday, this will be the last time we can meet in person in church for the next month. The next one will be the Sunday after the 2nd of December. That's sad, but perhaps necessary. Certainly it means changes for what we had planned for next Sunday, which of course is Remembrance Day. Our plan had been that church would be open from 9:30 to 10:45 for private prayer and for people to make individual acts of remembrance, either by bringing a poppy or a cross or lighting a candle. And that there would then be a service of remembrance at 10:45 that was a more public thing. I suggest that we still have the church open from 9:30 to 10:30 for individuals to come, and keeping their distance from others. If you want to make an individual act of remembrance, it will be available for you to do so. We will then have a shorter remembrance service than normal, beginning at 10:45, but that will be wholly online. So the only people who will be here will be those who are actively taking a part in it. And that will continue then for the next 4 weeks until the Sunday after the 2nd of December. We will use the church email list to let you know what's happening about other church events, particularly about youth and children's work, about whether any of that is allowed to continue until we see the details of the government's ruling for the lockdown. At the moment, we're still guessing a little bit as to what we'll be allowed to do and what we won't be allowed to do. Please do pray for our leaders. They need our prayers. They need wisdom. They need to make decisions that are in the best interests of everybody. Please stand if you're able. We are the body of Christ. In one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And we pray together. God of all power and love, may the boldness of your spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your Spirit help us to serve and worship you, now and evermore. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you feed us with the living bread from heaven. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and strengthen our love. Teach us to hunger for Christ, who is the true and living bread, and to live by every word that comes from your mouth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. To you be glory and praise forever. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing song today, The Lion and the Lamb. Chain will break. Thank you to Martin and Kate for reading, to Rosemary and Alan for their prayers. Thank you to Rachel for speaking to us this morning, for all of you being here with us and online, and to Aidan for wrestling with the technical... Let us live in peace and love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.